So before we have our communion together, I want to share a few thoughts with you. Last week's message, I had a lot of comments about. And what was interesting was the comments were all similar in this vein, that I had given them a lot to think about this topic. And what we were talking about was what God did was two things in our study of Romans chapter 8. He atoned for our sins and he made the Holy Spirit available. And the Holy Spirit's availability is so that we are enabled to please God. And we're able to please God in and through his help when he leads us into Christ-likeness. And that is evidenced by submitting to his law. God gave the law to pull us back from the brink of becoming subhuman and less than. And then God gave the Spirit to enable us to keep the law. And then we talked about the body of Jesus. And when Paul says that God sent his Son in flesh like ours under sin's domain, remember this? And as a sin offering. And the reason that Jesus came in physical form was because every one of our bodies, your body, is a sacrifice for sin. Your sin is going to be paid for by God's declaration. Your body is going to pay for your sin. God declared that in Genesis 3. And here's the chilling part about that. You're under sin's domain right now. Your body is under sin's domain. And it chips away at us, doesn't it? Sin's domain chips away all the physical complaints that we have. But, sin doesn't have complete dominion over us right now. Doesn't have complete dominion. Now, here's the chilling part about this topic, which we talked about this morning in Bible study. Jesus' body, you know, had no debt. Our bodies, I said, had a lien against us. Like I likened it unto a house and a mortgage. Your body is a house. And there's a lien against your body. I'm talking about your physical flesh, your corporeal self. And like a house that has a lien against it, the bank owns that lien. And if you don't pay off that lien, the bank takes your house and does whatever it wants with it, has total control over it, because you owed money and you weren't able to pay it. Now, here's where it gets chilling. If you are not a son or daughter of God, you presently have a lien against your body, and what we're going to do today is highly symbolic of this. Jesus of Nazareth comes on the stage with a body like ours, Paul says, makes it clear, like ours, under sin's domain, has to be, because if your house is mortgaged to Richland Bank, and someone comes along and they go to Mechanics Bank to pay off your mortgage, no. You see, Jesus has to be dealing with the same bank. Is this analogy helpful? Jesus has to deal with the same bank. That's why his body had to be under sin's domain. Because Jesus is going to go to the bank that holds the mortgage on your body. And he's going to remove the lien on your body. Sin no longer has dominion over you. Sin no longer has a claim on you. The demons of hell don't have you. Mephistopheles, when he comes to you, your lien has been paid upon death. But the chilling part, if you are not a Christian, and I have been remiss in my preaching because I have not emphasized this out of a sense of, I don't know, it just seems like an unpleasant topic, but yet I feel like I have not emphasized it enough. So you need to listen to me right now about this. If you do not have the Spirit of the living God inside of you, if Jesus of Nazareth's body has not paid your debt, the lien against you, and by the way, your mortgage, the papers on your life, your body are held by Satan. God said that in Genesis 3. Your body is now a living sacrifice to pay for the sin that you just did, and Satan and death and Hades hold the lien, hold the mortgage. If you don't have the Spirit of the living God inside of you, upon your death, Satan, hell, the demons have total control over you, just like the bank that repossesses a house. They have total control over that house, and they will do whatever they want to do with that house. If and when you die and experience physical death, you see, for God's people, when we die, Satan's dominion and control over us is nullified, over, gone. If there's a lien against your property and the bank comes to repossess your house, you are able to present documentation that mortgage has been paid. The bank has no control over your house anymore. But if you don't, if you die, what a chilling thing is going to happen to those who die without the body of Jesus Christ having paid for them. Imagine then sin, death, Hades, and the demons having complete control over your body, and they can do whatever they want with it. And I referenced Dante's Divine Comedy, and I also referenced the rich man and Lazarus parable told by Jesus, because we need to get back to the fact, unpopular, a little frightening, it is your body that will be under the complete control of Satan. He's going to call that marker in. You owe it because you sinned. And he's going to take complete control of your entire life, your entire body. You know, Teresa and I talked about that this week, and we said, if you really believe this, and I do, and that's where I need to give myself a one-minute reprimand, which I did, because I've not been stressing this enough. You know, we've sugarcoated it, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it anymore. You are going to go to hell where Satan has complete control over every part of you. And not the least of which, that will be your physical body and what he is able to do with your physical body. The lien against our body has been paid. When we die, sin, death, demons, Hades, sickness, grief, death, grief, crying, and pain will no longer exist for those of us that are in Christ Jesus. You see, we serve a God who has taking care of us completely, complete redemption. If you have not made a decision for Jesus Christ, listen to me right now. If you've not made that decision, and don't you think you can ride in on the coattails of your family, because you can't. If you've not repented on your knees and asked God to forgive you this future, will occur for you. You will go into hell conscious, sentient, and your memory intact, and your body subject to an eternity of the dominion of sin. Said last week, we can't even imagine what kind of a creature that will turn out to be. What kind of a creature that will be. On the other hand, let me read what's in store for God's people before we take our communion and what we're doing here today and why communion is so highly symbolic is because here we have before us the blood and the body of our Lord. And by taking that into our body, that's why Jesus said, this is my blood, drink it, this is my body, eat it. As a believer, now this act alone, don't misunderstand, this act alone does not save you. This act is a symbol that you have taken the blood and body of Jesus into your life. You see, and when Jesus said, eat it and drink it, what he's saying is the lean's going to be removed from your body. Because one, you know, here's some little physics. We have found that the universe is infinite. Right? We don't know where. Infinite. But we also know this. The infinity goes the other way. Now, let me explain that. We think of infinity as big. Now we know, with our advances in physics, that eternity also goes down. Infinity goes down. You understand? The smallest particle, we haven't got to the bottom of it yet. The electron, the neutron, the proton, the atom. The atom has even smaller parts. And it goes on and on and on. There's no end the other way. So now you understand why the body of Jesus can pay the lien on an infinite number of people. Because one microchip of Jesus' body pays your complete lien. So powerful is it. Such a premium God puts on physicality. Such value God puts on bodies. Lose this dualism that you separate your body from the spirit. God likes bodies. He invented them. Your body is not going to go away. One way or the other, your body is either going to go into an eternity of improvement or an eternity of devolvement. That's a little chilling, isn't it? Any of you that have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, you need to hear this. Because the moment you experience physical death, It is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, and I mean immediately after that, your eternal fate is sealed. You don't hear this much anymore, do you? No. Nope. You know, like the usual Suspects movie where they say the greatest trick the devil ever did was convince the world he didn't exist. You know, the greatest trick the devil's doing to us is to convince us that hell doesn't exist. It does. And C.S. Lewis writes about that trenchantly. He says it is the one doctrine that he really struggles with, C.S. Lewis. He says he really struggles with it. He believes it. But he said it's so hard for him to grasp. It is for me too, isn't it? How would you know? It is for me. It's hard for me to grasp. But I understand a little bit why God does this. He does it because he has a vision of humanity that is a body that submits to the law and thereby experiences what it means to be genuinely human. And he will not allow anything to come into his consummated kingdom that is contrary to that goal. Here's what we're in for. Now I'm going to say if. I have no firsthand knowledge of your particular situation before God. But you better deal with it right quick. But if you do, and if that body of Jesus has paid your lien, what a future is in for. I can spin out on this, of what the future and the consummated kingdom. I have a very robust theology of the consummated kingdom, what we're going to be doing. And it is an extremely physical world that we're going to. Lose this dualism that the body is bad and the spirit is good. That's wrong. Here's where we're going. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. What that means is the new heaven and new earth is a conjoining of the dimensions again. We're going back to Eden. See, in Eden, the dimensions were together. Heaven and earth were together. There was no separation. With the fall, there was a separation of the dimensions, and God and his minions went into the heavenly realm, and fallen humanity stayed in the earthly realm. And for ever since then, God has been trying through our redemption to get that back again. So here John, when he's exiled on the island of Patmos, he says, it came back together. I saw a new heaven and new earth, and they came, the old earth and the first heaven had passed away. See, they are no longer separate. That's what he means. Earth didn't pass away. Heaven didn't pass away. The separation passed away, and now they're one. What will that mean for us? I also saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride, adorned for her husband. And then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Wow, imagine this. Look, God's dwelling is with men. What? And God came walking through the garden in the cool of the evening. Where are you? He says. God was walking among paradisal man, you see, in Genesis 1 and 2. And now at the end of the book, he's doing it again. God's dwelling will be with men. And he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. Well, now what will that look like? Here's what it'll look like. He, God, now dwelling and walking with us. This is a pick-me-up sermon. I know, a little down on the hell thing, but now we're on the other side. This is a pick-me-up. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. He, God himself. How intimate is that? How intimate an act for you to take your hand and wipe someone's tear away? You got to know someone pretty well to do that. This is the kind of intimacy we're going to have with God. He himself will wipe away my tear. Death will exist no longer. Grief, crying, and pain will exist no longer, because the previous things have passed away. That's where we're going. That's where I'm going. I invite you to go. I invite you to make a decision for Jesus and what we're doing with our communion. When we take communion today, I want you to picture that, the lien on your body is being paid, and you're taking that capital into your body And one particle of an atom pays your entire lien. And when you experience physical death and Satan saunters up to take your body, God is going to say, not so fast. Because he's mine. She's mine. And you will be raptured into the presence of a holy God. Also conscious, also sentient, meaning emotional feelings, and also memory intact. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Total redemption. Body, mind, and spirit. Through the payment of this for our debt. Death, where's your sting? Paul mockingly says, grave, where's your victory?